Ave Maria. Welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Rhonda Branham, and I'm here with my co-host, Monica Siefker. Now that the fall 2018 40 Days for Life campaign is in the history books, we're going to spend some time today talking about all the good things that have gone on as a result of your prayers and fasting for an end to abortion. But before we delve into that, let's start off in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the giver of all life. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life which you have given us. Teach us to recognize the sacredness of our lives. Teach us to honor the sacredness of others. Remove from us the selfishness that prevents us from experiencing the majesty of each soul. Give us the conscious understanding that your Holy Spirit lives in us and that all our actions and thoughts should reflect the holiness of your indwelling presence. Sanctify our lives, Heavenly Father, that we might be a blessing to all whom we meet, especially as we go about our pro-life work. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful gift of life, both temporal and eternal. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so having just wrapped up this fall's 40 Days for Life campaign, we thought it would be a good idea over the course of these next couple of programs to do some storytelling, because there is a lot of good fruit that has come from these intense prayer campaigns, both locally and nationally, and we want to be sure to share this good news with you. You're going to be hearing some of the amazing ways that God has been working through 40 Days for Life and other pro-life efforts. You need to know that He is at work, and your prayers, penances, and sufferings offered up for an end to abortion really and truly are making a difference.
That's right, Rhonda. When you think about the fact that twice a year, for 40 consecutive days, at abortion centers both in our country and throughout the world, there is someone outside praying publicly in rain, sleet, snow, wind, freezing temperatures, boiling temperatures. You got to think that this is going to draw down some special graces from God. And it turns out that's precisely what we are seeing.
Okay, so before we get into the stories, give us a quick history of the pro-life movement here in Bloomington, Monica, particularly focusing on the efforts being made right there at 421 South College Avenue, where the Bloomington Planned Parenthood is located.
Well, as with most movements, the growth in local pro-life efforts there at Planned Parenthood started off small, has gone through a lot of hiccups and bumps in the road, and still continues to do so in many ways, but has really blossomed over time into this labor of love for God and souls. And as far back as I can remember, Rhonda, which is from about the year 2001 or 2002, so that's to say for almost 20 years now, a small group of prayer warriors have always gathered to pray faithfully every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Thursdays have always been their designated abortion day when an abortionist comes down from Indianapolis to perform the abortions here in Bloomington. The stalwart Mr. Bill Dunphy led the group in praying the rosary and the chaplet of divine mercy for many years. And on every third Thursday of the month, a group from the Washington and Ligoti area would drive over to join the others praying there at Planned Parenthood. And then a mass would be offered at the Sacred Heart Chapel at the Mother of the Redeemer Farm afterwards at 11 a.m. And this went on faithfully for years. There was another local evangelical church whose members were present there on Thursdays as well, but basically everyone would leave by 10:30 or 11. So for the most of these years, there wasn't full day coverage there on abortion day. That would only come later.
So that 9 to 10 a.m. prayer vigil has been continued to this day, hasn't it, Monica?
Yes, it has.
In fact, the prayers are now led by local priests and is even broadcasted live over Womb Radio every Thursday morning.
Yeah, it's a blessing that God has bestowed upon our community and one which we are so grateful to Almighty God for, as well as for the priests who sacrifice their time to be there and for the souls involved behind the scenes who get the broadcast on the air.
So, Monica, what started the move to get more hours covered in prayer there on Thursdays?
Well, that's where 40 Days for Life comes in, Rhonda. I personally had been involved with the pro-life movement for many years and in a variety of efforts, but I was feeling this distinct tug on my heart to get in the trenches, right there where abortions were happening at 421 South College Avenue, because someone needed to be there for the women and unborn babies going in, and even when they came out so that they could be see that sign of mercy and hope. So it was either in 2008 or 2009 when I got a phone call from Eileen Hartman, who headed up the Great Lakes Gabriel Project, and that was a ministry, and still is, dedicated to helping women who are facing unplanned or challenging pregnancies. And Eileen basically told me that we needed to start this prayer and fasting campaign here in Bloomington called 40 Days for Life, which I had really never heard of. She said that Indianapolis just went through their first campaign, and that this apostolate was going to play a vital role in helping to end abortion. And she really thought we needed to get it started right away here in Bloomington.
So, Monica, before we go much further on the local history of getting 40 Days for Life started here in Bloomington, let's quickly go through the remarkable and heroic efforts that went on at the national level to get this off the ground. 40 Days for Life actually got its start in College Station, Texas, in 2004, when four members of a local pro-life group begged God to reveal to them how they could help end abortion. They kept finding themselves drawn to the time frame of 40 days. A time frame that God used consistently throughout salvation history to bring about renewal and transformation in His people. These four individuals felt called to start a 40 days around-the-clock prayer vigil at the abortion center there in College Station. There were just four of them covering 24 hours for 40 days. Can you even imagine?
No, I can't.
That's heroic. And you know that something's going to happen with that kind of commitment. Not only that, one founding member, Sean Carney, did a 40-day bread and water fast after seeking permission from his spiritual advisor and medical doctor. These are the humble and incredible beginnings of 40 Days for Life. Well, it didn't take long for others to join their efforts, and in the years to come, the word got out about this intense prayer and fasting campaign that was helping to substantially reduce local abortion rates and change minds and hearts on the issue. Cities throughout the country wanted to hold their own 40 Days for Life campaigns, and in 2007, the first official and national 40 Days for Life campaign was held in 89 cities in 33 states.
Yeah, and Bloomington added its name to the list about a year or two later. Now, we got off here to a very slow start, but at least we started, I always say. When a city signs up for a campaign, they are supposed to agree to have a minimum of 12 hours of prayer coverage every day for 40 consecutive days. We were permitted to start off slowly and build, which is what we did. So originally, we were only doing 3 8-hour days a week for the first few campaigns. It was difficult finding prayer volunteers to come and pray in front of the abortion facility because, let's face it, it takes us out of our comfort zone and it sets us up for persecution. But with each subsequent campaign, we added days and hours thanks to a few generous prayer warriors. And I want to name one in particular, Don Gregory. I think it was around 2011 or 2012 that we took about a year or a year and a half off from doing any campaigns because of the difficulty in finding help and covering hours. But by the grace of God, because we didn't totally give up, He gave us the aid we needed to come back even stronger than ever before after that brief hiatus. And that's when things really started to happen, Rhonda.
So, Monica, are there any stories that you can share with us in those very early years of the 40 Days for Life campaign here in Bloomington?
Well, I'll be honest, Rhonda, we didn't see much tangible fruit at all during those early years. But you know what? Let me make this comparison. Just as the nascent life of the unborn child grows silently and imperceptibly within his mother's womb, the roots of these early campaigns, unbeknownst to us, were being quietly established and anchoring themselves down into the rich soil of people's prayers and sacrifices. We've seen tremendous growth within the past few years, and we've been able to cover the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in prayer for 12 hours every day for 40 consecutive days, including one overnight vigil. And we've seen some incredible and even miraculous fruit, which we'll talk about here shortly. But I'll share one particularly fond memory that I have of praying at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood during the final hour on the final day of the very first 40 Days for Life campaign years ago. And it has continued to motivate and move me to this day. And it involved two college students, a boyfriend and girlfriend, and they were coming out of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood just as it was closing for the day, and I was getting ready to go home because the campaign was finished. And I noticed they looked over at me, kind of curious. I thought they were going to come over, but they didn't. They got in their car, but within another minute, they pulled back around into the parking lot and got out and walked over toward me and, of course, asked, "Can we ask what you're doing here?" And I said, "Certainly." I said, "I'm praying for every person that comes in and out of this building, praying for all the workers here, and I'm also praying for an end to abortion, because I believe that in the dignity and the sacredness of human life from the very first moment of conception until natural death." And this really disarmed them, and I could just see their faces changed. And the young gentleman, he says, "That's so beautiful." And he had never really heard this before. And, you know, I think they were just prepared to hear me immediately go and lambast abortion and just kind of have this maybe this angry response, when instead it was one motivated by love. And he saw this. And they were also attracted, too, by the rosary I had out. And this sticks in my mind a lot, too. And they thought it was so beautiful. And I explained to him a little bit about what that was about. And the conversation continued on to other things. And it eventually even went to God. And I asked him if he believed in God. And he said, "Well, I'm agnostic." So I said, "Well, he does exist. And he loves you both very much." And, you know, they left with just a whole new view of what we were doing out there, what pro-life people were about. And I have to say, too, that kind of goes back to the simplicity of this campaign and how that we come as being souls in a state of grace, coming to magnify the Lord and His love like the Blessed Mother, and just going back to that opening prayer, that indwelling of the Holy Trinity. This is something that the world doesn't get a chance to see very often, and they get to see it in the volunteers that come to pray there. And so truly, it's just a phenomenal way to build up that culture of life.
Well, that's beautiful, Monica. Thank you for sharing. In his newly released book, The Beginning of the End of Abortion, 40 Inspiring Stories of God Changing Hearts and Saving Lives, Sean Carney, whom we mentioned earlier as being one of the founding members of 40 Days for Life, wrote in one of the chapters that there is a lot of pain inside the abortion industry, not just the obvious pain felt by the babies who lose their lives or their mothers who lose their children, but even by the facility workers themselves. He goes on to write that it's true that when people are in pain or helping someone else who is in pain, it's easy to deny science, dismiss nature, and ignore God in an attempt to justify whatever they believe will stop that pain, including abortion. So when we're talking with people in pain, we need to rely on prayer and compassion rather than arguments to change hearts. Arguments aren't the answer to pain. Love is. Reasoned arguments about the truth certainly have their place at the right time and situation. But Sean argues we must remember that we are dealing primarily with pain. Arguments and logic are effective inside the head, but that doesn't always translate to the heart and the will, and that's where the pain of abortion lies. So, Monica, the testimony that you've just given underscores this fact. Okay, so now take us to the time after Bloomington has taken a year or two off from doing 40 Days for Life campaigns. What was going on?
Yeah, so we're probably around the year 2013, and we've committed to trying these 40-day prayer campaigns again, adding more hours, but still having difficulty finding enough volunteers. By this point, St. Charles and St. John's parishes begin adopting days to help out, and it's at this time that we begin to see the persecution start to pick up. One particularly harrowing episode sticks in my mind, and it involved a 40 Days for Life participant who was kneeling on the sidewalk praying when all of a sudden, a violent man's voice bellows out from the stopped traffic on College Avenue. "Get off your knees. Your prayers aren't doing any good. Stop it." The man, who was on a motorcycle, then proceeded to ride over to the participant and harass and threaten her life. She relays that she felt very tranquil and at peace during this time, and even tried to calm the man down and explain to him what she was doing. It was a very serious and scary moment. The police were called, but the man got away. But lots of prayers went up for his conversion. And do you know, this same man showed up again at Planned Parenthood 2 years later, apologizing to the people praying outside there, telling them that he used to think abortion was okay, and how he used to come by and persecute the people praying there. But since that time, he had become a Christian and had watched the David Dalyden videos that had been newly released at that time. He let them know that he no longer supported abortion and that he wanted to join the prayer warriors in their campaign to end abortion. And to this day, Rhonda, this man still continues to show up and join us there in prayer at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood.
That is surely a testimony to the great mercy of God. And let's recall that in 2015, the Center for Medical Progress, under the work of David Dalyden, released undercover graphic videos that showed Planned Parenthood employees appearing to negotiate pricing on the sale of aborted baby parts. Well, Monica, let's take a quick break, and when we return, we'll continue on with our reminiscing and storytelling of the history of 40 Days for Life here in Bloomington. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Pro-Life to the Max, where we have been discussing an account of how 40 Days for Life campaigns have grown both nationally and here locally over the past many years, and some of the fruit we've been seeing from these campaigns. Now, Monica, before we went to the break, you were talking about the persecutions that were ramping up just as 40 Days for Life was expanding and more hours were being covered and spent in prayer in front of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. You had just shared with us one remarkable story about the change of heart of a young man who had been persecuting prayer warriors there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, but who now comes to pray regularly for an end to abortion. Do you have any other stories to share about the persecution that 40 Days for Life participants have undergone and the good that has come out of it?
I do, Rhonda. Of course, 40 Days for Life participants are often subjected to name-calling and colorful language and the like. It just kind of goes with the territory. And we just have to keep remembering, as you mentioned earlier, that this is all coming from a point of pain, because there's a lot of people who have been touched in one way or another by abortion. But the next story I want to relay starts off with an employee of a business that was literally just a few feet away from Planned Parenthood, in a little brick building just north of Planned Parenthood, and one that shared a drive with them. It's important for us to remember that it's no fun for these businesses that are right by an abortion center to have us protesters out there constantly for 40 days. I'm sure they feel like it disrupts their own business and brings an unwanted attention to the area. There are a few who are grateful that we are out there, but for the most part, they don't appreciate it. And perhaps part of this is because we are a reminder to them of what is going on in that Planned Parenthood building. But anyway, about 7 or 8 years ago, in that little brick building that I was talking about, there was a title work and appraisal company. And one morning, a beautiful young lady came out of the building and went over to one of the prayer warriors and began to reprimand her in sharp words for being there, saying things like, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You are ruining this whole area by being out here like this." The 40 Days for Life participant apologized and accepted the rebuke, knowing that it was probably really difficult for these businesses to have pro-lifers out there. So she prayed for the young lady. Now, this prayer warrior and her family happened to be going through some refinancing at the time, and an appraiser was assigned to visit their home to assess its value. Well, when the day came for the appraisal and the doorbell rang, who should happen to be there but this young lady who had just 2 weeks ago let her have it for being out there in front of Planned Parenthood. It was an awkward moment, but she smiled and welcomed the appraiser in and quietly begged God to move the heart of this young lady, especially as her eyes were sure to fall upon the religious pictures and statues in her home. The prayer warrior took this as a sign that she was to pray much for her persecutor and to love her as Christ did. The prayer warrior also sensed a strong urgency to begin praying that that little brick building that housed that appraisal company might one day become a pregnancy care center. And then, a few years later, this same little building changed hands and a law office settled in this time. Again, the occupants did not care for pro-lifers being out there so near to them, especially when these 40 Days for Life campaigns were going on. A participant was praying on the north end of Planned Parenthood near that little brick building during the evening hours. And at one point, she looked up from her prayer book and her eyes met those of an employee from that law office as the worker peered out from a window. The worker gave a disgusted look, shook her head, and immediately pulled down the blinds. And it hurt the prayer warrior to see this reaction, and she began to pray and offer up that tiny little suffering so that one day that little brick building would become a center to help pregnant women. And this intention became a fervent prayer for all of the 40 Days for Life participants. Through some miraculous occurrences, and by the help of Bill Dunphy, who had led that initial little prayer group on Thursday mornings for so many years, that little red brick building opened its doors on February 1st in 2017 as Bloomington's Women's Care Center.
That has been one of the biggest fruits from these 40 Days for Life campaigns, hasn't it? This story is proof that God loves to take our small sufferings and persecutions and turn them into something magnificent, something that just glorifies Him exceedingly.
Yeah, we often think that we need to do these big things to get major results, but with God, it's usually quite the opposite. He wants us to do the simple things with great love, and this is at the heart of why 40 Days for Life is so effective.
Well, every time I look at the Women's Care Center housed in that little brick building and then compare it to the Planned Parenthood that's in that much bigger limestone building, I can't help but think of a modern-day David and Goliath battle. Already, since its opening in February of 2017, hundreds of women have been served there through free pregnancy tests and ultrasounds. Moms and dads are being taught good parenting skills. Literacy training is available, along with many other services. But not only that, over 90% of women who go into the Women's Care Center choose life for themselves and for their babies.
All this fruit from the many years of prayers and sacrifices of the pro-life community here in Bloomington.
Monica, we don't have a whole lot of time left in our program, and we haven't even begun to touch upon the stories of women who have chosen life there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood during these 40 Days for Life campaigns. Nor have we talked about how the workers there at Planned Parenthood have been affected. So we're going to have to wait until the next program to share these stories. But before we do sign off today, can you quickly tell us about some things that have happened during this past fall 2018 campaign? Are there signs of hope that abortion is going to end and that our prayers are making a difference?
I can say with absolute certainty that yes, Rhonda, the prayers and fasting during 40 Days for Life campaigns always have a huge impact, and this campaign is no exception. We had one week where abortions were not even performed, and we consider that a miracle because for at least the past 2 years, they've never missed a week of doing abortions. There were numerous days when Planned Parenthood was closed for no reason. Customers would come up to the door expecting it to be open, but they couldn't get in. A good, solid business would not operate in this manner, so we hope and pray that something is afoot. On some days, a staff member would come out and post on the entrance door what appeared to be a note saying that they were closed for a couple of hours. Again, clients would try to get in but couldn't. We have reached out to so many women coming into Planned Parenthood and have offered them blessing bags containing information about pregnancy care centers and resources, as well as information on the harmful effects of not living chastely and in using contraception. Information about fertility awareness is provided. I believe many seeds have been planted. We saw several women and couples on Thursdays during this past campaign leave Planned Parenthood and we are hopeful that they have chosen life. Many good conversations were had with passersby or those who stopped to see what we were doing or to challenge our presence there. The Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate in particular had at least a couple of amazing exchanges that could result in conversions of hearts. All in all, it was an incredible campaign, one where many seeds were planted, and now all that's left for us to do is to water these seeds by our continued prayers and sacrifices.
And that would make for an excellent action item for this week, Monica. We ask you, our dear listeners, to pray the third luminous mystery of the Holy Rosary, the proclamation of the kingdom and the call to conversion, for each and every soul that participants of this past fall 40 Days for Life campaign came into contact with. We beg our Lord and His Holy Mother to inflame their hearts with the fire of divine love, and we pray that they will be in heaven someday. That's all the time we have for today. I'm Rhonda Branham, and on behalf of my co-host Monica Seifger, we want to thank you for joining us here on Pro-Life to the Max. Be sure to join us next week when we'll continue discussing all of the beautiful fruit that is coming from the 40 Days for Life campaigns here in Bloomington. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.